I want to offer the invitation again for you to be here tonight to hear some more wonderful music. You'll be so glad you did. 6:30 here in this room. Sort of assembled choirs from across the church, and you'll enjoy being a part of that. Well, when Luke tells his story of Jesus, he sort of backs up a ways. And he tells the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth before he gets to the Jesus story. And then he also tells the story of Mary. So today we want to hear that story. It's in the first chapter. And I want to back up and begin. I'm going to begin at verse 26, and then we'll begin the important song at verse 39. Luke uses more music, you might say, because several times in the Christmas story, people sort of break into music, and one of those is Mary, and there'll be the angels will sing, and Zechariah. So here, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this in the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed with her. And then picking up at the 39th verse. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on favor with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He's shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the holy. He's filled the hungry with good things and the rich sent empty away. He's helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, according to the promise He made to our ancestors, to Abraham, to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, as first your word came to Mary and spoke to her of a new future, so open our hearts and minds and imaginations and spirits that we might find newness of life. In Jesus' name, amen. You wonder if the angel Gabriel is a little anxious about his new assignment. Last week we read about Zechariah, this old man, and how Gabriel was sent to tell this old man that he and his wife would finally have a child. But you see, Zechariah, this old man, and his wife, they had been praying for years that God would do something. And Zechariah was a priest. I mean, he spent his time up at the temple. So Gabriel, I suppose, thinks, that Zechariah, they've been wanting this and hoping for this. And Zechariah is a priest, so he shouldn't be surprised when an angel shows up. He expects God to do great things. And so when Zechariah asks the angel Gabriel, how can all this happen? And Zechariah begins to ask questions. Gabriel just sort of strikes him mute, speechless, dumb. He said, you won't say anything until Elizabeth has this child, John. And I guess Gabriel thinks, well, you know, Zechariah, he's a big boy. He can handle that. He's a priest. He's grown up. He shouldn't have talked back to me. But this newest assignment, this is a little different. You see, this is a girl, Mary, that he's being sent to talk to. And she is young. She's a young kid. Gabriel knows this calls for a little more diplomacy, a little more delicacy, this assignment. Mary is engaged to be married. She's betrothed to Joseph. But she's still just a teenager. And at this point in her life, Gabriel knows she should be planning a wedding. She should be reading the bridal magazines. You know, she should be figuring out what her color schemes are going to be for a wedding and arguing with her mom over who's going to address all these invitations. And she should be, you know, working on the dress for the wedding and finding the caterer. And she should be setting Joseph, her fiancé, straight that, no, we are not going to have barbecue and moon pies at the reception. That's the kind of stuff that Mary ought to be doing now. She's engaged, a teenager, getting ready for the most important day in her life. Her special day. The day when she is the center of everyone's attention. This kid needs to be planning a wedding, not a baby shower. Maybe this is why Luke sends Gabriel, the angel, sort of in stages. It's real interesting if you read very carefully. In the Zechariah story, it seems like the angel was just beamed down, and there he was right by the altar. But in this one, Gabriel, it says, went to Nazareth, this town. It's sort of like he wanted to circle the runway a few times. Sort of reconnoiter what was going on. Maybe he gets there. Maybe he walks around Mary's house a few times. Maybe he's practicing his speech, because then it says, so he goes in to tell Mary. And he goes in and he breaks this news in stages. Maybe he wants to sort of take it easy. The Bible says he goes in and he says, rejoice, you who are favored by God, the Lord is with you. That sounds pretty positive, upbeat. You who are favored by God, the Lord is with you. That's pretty good. He wants to sort of give Mary a minute to get used to there an angel being there. They don't get too many angels up around Nazareth. But in spite of this kinder, more gentle approach, Mary is disturbed. You see, Mary may be a kid, but she knows her Bible. Mary knows that being favored by God is not all it's cracked up to be. Mary knows that you better watch out when somebody says you're favored by God. She knows that when God favored Abel, his brother Cain got jealous and killed him. Mary knows that when God favored Noah, Noah had to get busy and build a boat. She knows that when God favored Abraham, Abraham had to help Sarah pack up all their household belongings, all their bric-a-brac, everything, and move to a new place. She knows that when God favored Moses, Moses, who was minding his own business out in the wilderness, tending to his father-in-law's sheep, Moses had to go down to Pharaoh, the mightiest man in the world, and stand up to him and say, "Let my people go. Let all these slaves go." Mary knows enough Bible to know that when God said to Israel, "You're my favored people," that meant, "I'm blessing you to go and be a blessing. You're going to be a light to the world." So Mary knows that when somebody says God has favored you, you better watch out. Because being favored by God means there's some strings attached. Gabriel tries to keep her calm. He says, "Mary, now don't be afraid. Mary, don't be afraid. You've won God's favor." He says that again. And then he just blurts out his message. "You will conceive. You'll have a son. You'll name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will get the throne of his ancestor David. He will rule over the house of Jacob. Of his rule reign there will be no end." And Gabriel just lays it all out there. And sort of expects Mary maybe to do like Zechariah did and protest. But instead of running away, Mary just says, "How?" And she explains she's not been intimate with the man. And Gabriel, he's learning. He's got this more customer-sensitive angel presence now. And he says, "This is really not about biology. This is not about human biology. It's not about any human activity, or it's not about human initiative. This is about the initiative of God. This is something God is doing." And then he talks about the Spirit. And Mary knew her Bible. She would be reminded of how in the beginning, when there was nothing, God's Spirit was there. And the Word was spoken and there was a world. And the angel is saying, God's Spirit will make this happen. Just as God made something out of nothing, He's making something out of nothing. New life. Creation from nothing again. And he says, God can do that. And he tells her about Elizabeth, her cousin. She's going to have a baby. If God can do that, God can do anything. And so Mary, unlike so many of the people before her who had been called by God, you know, when Moses is called by God, Moses comes up with 15 reasons why he shouldn't go down to that Pharaoh. He starts naming them. "They won't trust me. I can't talk. Da, da, da." But Mary, she just says, "Before you is your servant. Let it be." And don't you know, Gabriel gets out of there as fast as he can. Relieved. Gets out of there in case she changes her mind. You know, all through, since that time, artists have done all kind of pictures of Mary. And sculptors have made statues of Mary. And so often, they are images of Mary as the tender mom, the Madonna and child, her gazing with tenderness in her baby's face. They emphasize her tenderness, her care for the baby. Luke wants us, we'll see that in Luke in the next chapter. But what he wants us to see right now is something else about Mary. Before Mary was the tender, loving mother, she was this strong, brave young woman who stepped up and spoke up. She goes to see Elizabeth, her cousin, and Elizabeth there, they're rejoicing, and Mary breaks into a song. But it is not a tender lullaby, if you listen to those words. It is more like a battle hymn. It really is. We call it the Magnificat. That's the first words in Latin of it. It is a song about Mary's celebrating God's power. It's a song about how God will bring down arrogant tyrants from their throne. It's a song about how God will raise up the lowly. It's a song about how God will bring down the rich who trust in their riches. It's about God remaking the world. It's not a sweet go-to-sleep baby song. In this story, instead of focusing on the most important day of her life, the day when she will get married or the day she'll have this baby, Mary sings about the day God is going to fix the world. God is going to redeem the earth. God's going to set everything right. Mary refuses to let it be all about her. And the song she sings says it's all about God. About what God is doing in the world. About how God is establishing His reign, His kingdom on earth. Mary talks about the day when God will be in everybody's, the center of everybody's attention. Mary speaks up for God. That's her response. Of course, Mary comes from a long line of women in the Bible who spoke up. You know who Shiphrah and Puah are? You may not even know them. Those are two women that are in the Bible over in the book of Exodus. Shiphrah and Puah, they're midwives. And the Pharaoh in Egypt tells them whenever a Hebrew woman is in labor and the boy, the baby is a boy, I want you to kill it. And Shiphrah and Puah won't do that. And so the Pharaoh calls me. He said, what is all these Hebrew baby boys being born? Why aren't y'all doing something about it? They just kind of, we don't know. They said, we don't know. They know. They're these women who step up. There's Miriam. You know the story of Miriam? Miriam is the first babysitter in the Bible. If you've ever been a babysitter, you need to know about Miriam. Miriam is watching from a distance while her baby brother Moses is floating in that little basket in the reeds there on the edge of the Nile River. And the Pharaoh's daughter comes down and she finds this baby and she decides she's going to take it home and raise it. And little Miriam speaks up. She stands up and she walks right up to this princess of Egypt and she says, I can find you a Hebrew nursemaid for that baby. And the princess says, well, go find one. Miriam goes and gets her mama and Moses' mama, and it ends up that Moses gets nursed and raised in the nursery of the Pharaoh's palace by his own mother. And she gets paid to do it by the Pharaoh. Isn't that great? Miriam, she speaks up, steps up. Deborah, you know the story of Deborah in the Bible? She was a prophet. They weren't all men. She was a judge. Deborah was a judge. She was the one who told the Israelite generals when to go to war. And they said, well, we'll go, but you've got to go with us. They insisted that Deborah go to war with them. Tamar speaks up. She's this woman married to Judah. Her husband dies. Her husband dies and the family won't treat her right, give her her rights. And so she hatches up this little R-rated, you can read it, scheme to entrap her father-in-law. She speaks up. Hannah speaks up. Says to the Lord, I want a baby. And she becomes the mother of Samuel. Esther speaks up. Esther is this Jewish woman who rises from the harem of this king of Persia to become his favorite queen. And there's this plot to kill all the Jews. And Esther speaks up on behalf of all her people. She's hidden her faith, but when the right moment comes, she speaks up and she saves the people of Israel. Ruth speaks up. You remember Ruth? Her husband dies. She's a foreigner, a Moabite, but her mother-in-law is an Israelite, Naomi. And Naomi says, go home, Ruth, to your people. And Ruth speaks up. And she says to Naomi, the Jew, where you go, I'll go. Your people are going to be my people. Your God will be my God. And you know where they go? They go to Bethlehem. Ruth goes to Bethlehem. And she becomes a Jew. And she speaks up and by the way, gets Boaz to be her husband. And they go on to open a chain of discount outlets. No, different Boaz, different Boaz. Mary is descended from that long line of women in the Bible who speak up and stand up. and cast theirself with God's plan to remake the world. They are connected to something bigger than themselves. They're invited into God's plan to be God's co-worker. But they help to answer the prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." And Mary speaks up and says, "Yes, I won't be a part of that." What Luke tells us and lets us see is that Mary becomes the first disciple of Jesus. We'll read on later, and sometimes we say, well, you know, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, James, John, that was the first one that came to believe and follow Him. That's not right. The first one to suffer for the Messiah, it's Mary. The first one to be inconvenienced by the Messiah and to give her life over to the Messiah, it's Mary. The first one to have her life reorganized by the Messiah is Mary. The first one to welcome the Messiah, to cast her lot with the Messiah's future, it's Mary. The first one to serve Him, the first one to believe in Him, the first one to confront God's mysterious plan in Jesus is that woman in Bethlehem. The same town where generations before that baby's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmama Ruth. You see, Jesus is descended from Ruth, who said yes to the God of Israel. Mary does too. And I suppose she's the first one to sing a song to that baby. Years later, in the story, it's told in Luke 11, Jesus grows up. He's a grown man. He's going around. He's healing. He's talking about the kingdom. He's inviting people to come follow Him. He's healing people. He's forgiving people. And He's gathering people around. And this woman in the crowd waves her hand at Jesus and she says, "Blessed is the woman who bore you." She's saying, "Oh, your mama is so proud of you for what you've done." And Jesus stops. And He looks at her and He says, "More blessed, more fortunate than being the one who bore me and nursed me is being the one who heard God's word and did it." Jesus is saying what makes His mama special, not just that she bore Him and raised Him, but she heard God's word. And she did it. She became a disciple of the kingdom, a follower of God. She accepted this life that God wanted to give her. We sing about joy to the world. It's not joy in the world. It's not joy from the world. It's not joy because of the world. It's joy to the world. That little preposition means it comes from beyond to us. What it is saying is that God is offering us a life better than anyone we could have figured out on our own. God is offering us a life and a future better than any we could have figured out on our own. And He invites us to see it, to accept it, to turn, to be changed, to be converted, and to live it and to follow. He gives us a new birth, a new beginning, a world better than any, and a life better than any we could have thought of on our own. Well, that's the reason, this joy coming into the world, that's the reason to celebrate, to feast, to make a lot of great music, and that's a reason to light some candles. Who's going to help light? Can we have a candle lighter today? If you'd come and light our candle. We have we've had two, and we're going to light a third. Yeah, how to work that? Push it. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, let's light a third one. Let us pray. Lord, we give thanks the way the light pierces the darkness, that you break into this tired world and show us a new way forward. We give thanks for Jesus who comes, who will show us a new life, so much better than any we could hope or imagine or dream of. Lord, help us to say yes, as Mary said yes, that we might find our life in following this Messiah. In His name we pray, and in His way we would walk and live. Amen. Thank you. Well, let's... Shall we have some more music?
Yeah.
If you've been a part of this worship service or around the church for a while and you've been thinking, you know, I might like to join that church, I would be delighted to have that conversation with you, to arrange a time for you to join the church, to be baptized if you have not been, or simply if you want to have a conversation, you think you might want to be a part of this thing, and would you like to know more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus or a member of the church or what baptism is, I would be delighted to have that conversation. Feel free to speak to me or any of our pastors or give us a call or an email, and we would enjoy talking to you about that. Let us continue our praise of God today. Go with God's blessings, John. And we who have been blessed go with God's Spirit and God's comfort and God's challenge for our lives. And may the light of Him whose star is rising upon us bring us peace and bring us hope and bring us joy. Bring us that life that's better than we could ever imagine for ourselves. Go in the name of God we love, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen.